Get your Bible out this evening, and if you would please, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 47. Isaiah chapter 47. This is the 22nd lesson on the subject of destructive behavior. Isaiah chapter 47. If you'll remember, many, many weeks ago, we started this, and our country is just in a destructive mode. Every time you turn around, there's someone at a school pulling out a gun and causing havoc and riots and all the misbehaviors. Now, I guess we can expect that from the lost world. But from born-again Christian people, it ought not be so. We ought to have a grip on ourselves. And we have a Holy Spirit living within us that gives us better behavior. And so, tonight, another lesson on destructive behavior. Isaiah 47. If you would stand with me, please. Isaiah chapter 47. We're going to go to verse number 10. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to turn to yet another passage of Scripture. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 47, verse number 10, "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know." Now, I'm going to stop there. We're going to go to another passage of Scripture. But before we do, let me point out to you, whatever's taking place there, I hope you're listening to it. It's talking about desolation. It's talking about just all sorts of terrible things happening. Whatever prompted that desolation, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, find verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. And may I say this before I read this? I'm going to read two verses to you, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. But let me tell you something. I would recommend that every Christian alive memorize Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, the two verses that we're about to read, I would recommend that you commit them to memory. They will help you. They could help you every day of your life for the rest of your life because it's a way of living. And so here we go. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now let's pray. Father, give us your wisdom tonight. Give us your insight. Holy Spirit of God, teach us. May our hearts and minds and wills be in tune to you. And Father, I would like us to be better Christians because we came to church. So please, this subject this night, use it to make us better and help us, Father, that because of our good behavior, our right behavior, that Jesus might be glorified and that you might be pleased. Now, settle everyone's thinking and help them to concentrate on the simple lesson of this evening, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. Now, if you want to take your Bible and open it to Isaiah 47 again, Isaiah 47, I'm going to look at verse number 10, and I'm going to now make a couple of comments about the text verses. Isaiah chapter 47, verse number 10, it says this, "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness." Now, I want to stop right there, and as I told you, we see the word desolation in verse 11. What was it that brought on this desolation? Well, it starts out in verse 10, and it talks about what they trusted. Now, the title of the sermon tonight, it's about destructive behavior, but it's wrong trust, or placing our trust in the wrong things. It brings destruction in the Christian life. It brings destruction just anywhere, but this thing of trust. So in verse 10 of Isaiah 47, it said, "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness." Then it goes from a trust that, and I think it's real obvious to us, we shouldn't trust in wickedness, but there's a misappropriation of trust here. And now what happens? It says, it tells us this. Well, if you look in verse number 11, it goes on to say, therefore shall evil come upon thee. So there's been a misappropriation of trust. Now we see evil has come upon them, and it says that they're not going to know from whence it riseth. In other words, it's going to surprise you. Then it says, mischief shall fall upon thee. And that word mischief there, it's talking about unexpected hurt, if you will, trickery towards you. Then it says, you won't be able to. It says, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off. You say, what does that mean? You ever heard the terminology, you just can't shake it, you can't get rid of it. Someone was talking about the cold or the flu that they've had, and they said, I'm having a hard time just shaking this thing. Well, this mischief, this evil, and this destruction that is coming in result of this misappropriated trust, it's hard to get rid of. You're saying, well, this thing that I've created by using my trust the wrong way, I'm having a hard time getting rid of it. I'd like to get it away from me, but I'm having a hard time getting it away. Then it says, thou shalt not be able to put it off. Then it uses in verse 11, it says, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly. In other words, this desolation, let me use the word destruction, if you will. This destruction or this desolation comes, but it comes suddenly. It was unexpected. And then it says, which thou shalt not know. So here God tells us that someone trusted the wrong thing, and because of it, evil came upon them and desolation came upon them. And they were having a hard time getting away from that desolation and getting away from that evil and getting away from this destruction that had come upon them. Now, there's a verse that talks to us about misappropriating our trust. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, that's the one I told you that I think you ought to memorize. Listen to it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, do you understand that the path that God would lead you on is not a destructive path? Total opposite. You've got misappropriated trust, and then you've got appropriate trust. One had to do with trusting the wrong things, and the other had to do with trusting the right things. Putting trust in the wrong thing is going to create desolation. Putting your trust in the right thing is going to bring happiness and peace and fulfillment. I'm going to tell you a story. When I grew up, just up the street from me, I had a young man that we kind of grew up together. And we goofed off together and rode bikes together and probably got into some trouble together. His name was Darren. And Darren was kind of a clown. I'm going to tell you about something that I used to do that I don't recommend anybody in this world do. In my town, there was a creek or a river, and there was a train track that went over that creek. And from where the bridge where the train went over the creek down to where the water was is probably about 40 or 50 feet drop there. And the trains would come, and they would shoot across that train bridge. Well, for some reason, it's supposed to be a gutsy thing that if you were quick enough, you hear the train coming, you would go out into the middle of the bridge, you would climb in between two of the ties, and you would hang there while the train went over the top, and then the train would pass, and it would all be over with. Well, I was always for a challenge, and so what would happen is we'd hear the train coming, and Darren and I, we'd ride our bikes out real quick, and we'd, you know, park our bikes real quick, and I would walk out and run out in the middle of the train bridge and then climb down. Now, you had to be relatively thin to fit in between those ties. I don't do this anymore. I'd just be stuck. And then Darren would yell when it was time to make sure your head was down, and then he would be waving at me when it was all clear and done. And look, you can tell I made it through this every time that I had done it. My mother found out we were doing this. Mothers are very unreasonable about things like this. My mother found out that we were doing this, and I'll never forget what my mom said to me. She said, Jeff, why would you trust your life to Darren, of all people? Now that I look back on it, I understand better what my mother was trying to tell me. Darren was the kid on our block that if you would give him money, he would eat milk bone dog biscuits. So we were all standing around bored. We'd get a milk bone biscuit, and if you gave Darren a nickel, he'd eat it. Now, he liked the red ones best, but he would eat that dog bone, and he was kind of our entertainment. And if you gave him a little extra money while he was eating them, he would bark and act like an idiot. He had the cleanest teeth in town, according to the vet. But I now that I think back, I'm not really sure Darren was all there. You know, the elevator didn't go all the way to the top floor. He was a brick short of a load. And now I'm thinking, now I understand my mother when she said, why would you trust your life to all people, Darren? Now, if I had it all to do over again, I would not trust my life to Darren. But I did. I virtually... Had Darren said, it's okay, stick your head up. If Darren were, you know, having a puppy moment or something and not thinking right, I could have been killed. You know, in most people and in their lives, they would say, I don't trust easily. But, you know, I've discovered something. I don't know that there is a tremendous lack of trust among people. You say, well, I think there is. I'm not really sure. It's just where you choose to put your trust. The problem is misguided trust. It's misappropriated trust. Everybody spends their life trusting something or many somethings. People trust doctors. People trust dentists. There are people in here who say, well, I don't trust very much. You trust the government. And people trust the government tremendously, just tremendously. I mean, if I really took the time to analyze it with you, some of you, the government's almost your God. You trust electricity. You know, electricity can be relatively dangerous. You trust the chair you're sitting in. You walked in, sat down on it. You didn't turn it over to make sure that it was going to hold up. You didn't check the load level on what that thing will handle. Some of you trust your breath freshener. You shouldn't, but you do. All sorts of people, they trust. You know, you'd be shocked how many people trust money. Their faith is in money. Their confidence is in money. If they have money, they're confident. If they don't have money, they're not confident. We trust machines. Wow, do we trust machines? We trust cars. There's so many machines that we trust. You trust your alarm, right? You wish you couldn't, but you do. You trust a ladder, to climb a ladder. You trust your zipper, right? You're really trusting. We trust people get on roller coasters and trust them. You trust your antiperspirant. You shouldn't, but you do. You trust the bank. Trust is everywhere. You trust all day long. All day long. Trust is abundant. The absence of trust is not the problem. It's the misappropriation of trust. And what is that? We're talking about what we trust. The problem is misguided trust, or it's misapplied trust, or it's misdirected trust, or misused, or misinvested, or misappropriated. I had a lady say to me one day, she said, I just don't trust easily. When I'd finished talking, she was getting in her car, and I looked at her tire on the front left part of her car, and you could see the threads. It was so thin, you could see the threads on her car. I said, ma'am, do you realize that your front left tire is almost bald? She said, oh, you don't have to worry about that. It's safe. Now, she had just told me she didn't trust easily. And I'm thinking, you don't trust, but you're about to drive a car that is totally untrustworthy. Matter of fact, you've chosen to trust something that's untrustworthy. And that can get you in a lot of trouble. I think trust misappropriated can be devastating to us. In the Bible, Isaac trusted Jacob. In the Bible, Uriah trusted David. Rehoboam trusted his peers. And Saul, in the Bible, trusted the witch of Endor. Was Saul short on trust? No, Saul just chose to trust the wrong thing. Samson trusted Delilah. Cain pretty well trusted Cain. Ahab trusted Jezebel. I'm pretty sure Ananias trusted Sapphira. Ammon trusted Jonadab. And I know not all of you know every one of those stories, but boy, was there some heartache and some destruction and some disappointment and some desolation as a result of it. But really and honestly, it is my experience in life that it is not an absence of trust with which we suffer. It is a misappropriation of trust with which we suffer, because everybody trusts. Everybody trusts. And just, we don't always trust the right things. Now, the lesson gets simple, even more simple than what it already has been. I want to talk to you about our trust and how to make sure. We want to be careful that we don't misappropriate our trust. Let's use trust properly so that we avoid the desolation, so we avoid the destruction in life. Number one, we make a mistake because you trust you more than you trust God. It's a mistake if you trust you more than you trust God. I'll go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I read the verse again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Notice here it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Be careful. You get to trusting yourself, and there wouldn't be anything wrong with you trusting you if you were 100% right with God and you were letting him guide you. But I've got to tell you, there are an awful lot of people out there that their trust is in themselves. Now, you understand, you can't get you to heaven. If you're trusting you to get you to heaven, desolation is on the horizon. But not only that, our everyday living is to be a trust in the Lord. Job 18:7 says, the steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. Here's someone that was self-counseling, but casting themselves down. I'll mention this again in a moment, but so many times when we counsel ourselves, we're trying to give ourselves what we want. You know, the safest thing in the world is not what you want. The safest thing in the world is what God wants. Tell me who has gotten you into more trouble than any other person other than the devil. You. I believe Cain trusted Cain. I don't think Cain was on Facebook and had some friends that he could ask about how Cain was going to behave. Cain did what Cain wanted to do. Now, you do all understand Cain was the first murderer, and Cain was the first child rebel, and on the list went. Who in the world influenced Cain to be like that? Well, other than the devil, Cain influenced Cain. Cain trusted Cain. Again, a gentleman said to me one day, he said, Pastor, I got to be honest, I just don't trust myself. I've seen where that gets me. I think there ought to be a humility present with all of us, that we are cautious, that we don't think we always know, and that we're very, very careful placing too much trust in self. Remember, we're sinful creatures. We're born again, but we're sinful. And so, if you trust you more than you trust Him, watch out. Desolation could be on the horizon. Let me go on. You trust your mind more than you trust His mind. And you say, what's His mind? That's the Word of God. You trust your mind more than you trust His mind. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. I have to tell you, I love logic and I love reasoning. I love all of that. But you know, not everything that God wants for me and everything God wants for you, it won't always make sense to you. Sometimes you just obey the Scripture. Why? God said, now you need to be careful leaning on your own understanding. Now, I love the idea of understanding the Bible. I love the idea of understanding the truth. I love the idea of having a grip on the Bible. But I am going to tell you, you're never going to understand it all, because His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. But be careful that you don't have too much confidence in your own mind. Now, there's usually a couple spectrums that are affected here. People that have gotten a lot of education and they've maybe been to school and studied and did well, they get pretty impressed with their education. There's no amount of education that will ever make you smart enough to do it all on your own. None. Matter of fact, your education might just be dangerous, because you get to thinking you know best, but God knows best. But not only do we then deal with those that are highly educated and they think that they don't need God, then you have those that are usually people that are less educated have a whole lot more humility about them. They just need to have the character then to turn to God and let God help them. But you, if you trust your mind more than you trust His mind, you're misappropriating trust. You must learn to think His way. Proverbs chapter 55, verse number 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible is God's mind. Obey it. The Bible is God's mind. Use it to help you think. One of my sons was taking an evaluation today for a job situation. He lives out of state. He said, I'm going to be very, very deeply screened, and they're going to take all these tests. And he said something to me today. He said, when I go through these high-level evaluations, when they ask me a question, I stop and say, I wonder how my dad would answer this. He said, it's never let me down. I pass them all. Now, let me tell you something. Before you make any decision, you do this. You say, I wonder how my dad would handle this, my heavenly Father. You get to borrow the brain of God for your decision making. And when you don't do that, you're dependent on, you're trusting something else. And I want everybody here, I want you to get a bunch of education. I like education. I'm for education. But there's no amount of education that will ever take the place of the wisdom and the knowledge of Almighty God. And we have a book in which we find that knowledge. So, remember, we're talking about destructive behavior. And the Bible tells us that misappropriated trust brings that type of destruction. So, if I trust me more than I trust Him, that could bring destruction to my life. If I trust my mind more than I trust His mind, that could bring destruction to me. Folks, let me tell you something. God's thinking is not outdated. It's not outdated at all. You say, but in the days in which we live, the other day, I heard someone say, well, back in Bible times, and I'm going to tell you what I said to him. I said, we're still in Bible times. And be careful, because we get to thinking, well, you know how it used to be. Now, God still thinks the same way today that he thought back then, and that's still successful thinking. So destruction comes when you and I think our minds are just as strong, they're capable as his mind. Borrow the mind of God, or destruction is going to come. Thirdly, we could make a mistake with our trust, misappropriated trust, when we trust our spirit more than we trust his spirit. Proverbs 28, verse number 26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Now, when I use the word our spirit, you all understand there is the Holy Spirit, and in the Bible that's a capital H and a capital S, Holy Spirit. When you see the Spirit in the Bible capitalized, that is in reference to the Godhead. When you see the word Spirit in the Bible and it's lowercase s, that's talking about the spirit of man, okay? And there is a difference. You say, what is our spirit? Our spirit would include our emotions. Our spirit would include our heart. Our spirit, to some degree, is our attitude. It's all kind of bundled up together. So destruction would come if I misappropriated my trust and I trusted my attitude or I trusted my feelings more than I trusted his spirit. Be careful how you feel about things, making your decisions about things. The other day, someone had done something, and to be honest, it was extremely rude. It was totally unkind. And I have to tell you, I had to get a hold of myself. I watched a man tear into a clerk at a store, and it was totally unjustified. She hadn't done a thing. She just happened to be the representative. And I was standing there, and I was thinking, I would like to just tap you on the shoulder and blaze a knuckle sandwich down your throat for treating that woman that way. That's what I felt like doing. Now, I didn't get arrested. My name's not in the newspaper. Therefore, this did not happen. But if I would have done what I felt like doing, I still believe in chivalry. Matter of fact, I want you to understand that. I don't think a man ought to be abusing or hurting a woman. But I just felt like, goodness, that lady did not deserve that treatment. And she had nothing to do with your situation, why you would treat her that way. I wanted to give him a knuckle sandwich. I didn't. Fortunately, I minded my own business. Now, if you do what you feel like doing, you are trusting your spirit opposed to getting your guidance and trusting his spirit. His spirit will never lead you contrary to his word. Never, never, never. The word of God and the spirit of God are in perfect unison. They have perfect unity. Listen, folks, be careful. If you trust your emotions more than you trust the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you're going to bring destruction to your life. Do you know what? Samson's heart told him Delilah's a good one to be with. Was Delilah a good one for Samson to be with? Not at all. It's terrible. Samson lost it all because Samson did what Samson felt like doing. Now, folks, we're very carnal. We're very fleshly. That carnality and that fleshly way will cause us to do what we want. And in Samson's case, y'all realize he lost his sight. He lost his power. He lost his testimony. What desolation came? You know what? David's heart, David's emotions said, Bathsheba's a good idea. Was Bathsheba a good idea? No. So David trusted David's emotion. And David's emotion lied to him. There are people in this room, you listen to your emotion, and your emotion gets you into trouble. You make things worse. Hey, and I want you to understand, God gave us emotion. Emotion's nothing wrong with emotion. You just can't trust emotion. You must trust principle. You must trust truth. You must trust the Word of God, because it changes not. You know, the Word, the Lord said, I'm the Lord, I change not. His Word does not change. Now, do your emotions change? One moment you like it, the next you don't like it. One minute you're for it, the next you're not for it. And some of you are like that all the time. You're just like this. Now, those are your emotions, okay? You better just make sure that you say, okay. But when it comes down to decision-making time, when it comes down to act upon something, I'm not following my emotions. Because that's misappropriated trust, and it'll bring destruction if you're not careful. Okay, so we said this. I said, number one, you trust you more than you trust Him. I said, be careful. If you trust your mind more than you trust His mind, the desolation is for sure. When you trust your spirit more than you trust His spirit, that'll bring the heartache. Now, let me go on. If you trust a group of your peers more than you trust His peers, that could get you in trouble. Your peers opposed to His peers. Remember, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, I want you to listen. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 31, verse 19 and 20. And the Bible says, O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee, before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of the tongue. Now, what's happening here, there is someone that's walking with God, and God said, I'll protect you. I'm going to keep that someone in a safe place, the pavilion of God. I'll protect you from what's going on around you. Now, folks, our peers, we put way too much trust in our peers. You take, for instance, there are some of you, you get on Facebook and you say things to your friends, and you trust that what is said, if you want it confidential, you trust that it's confidential. You all do realize what a blunder that is on your part, right? Because we trust all our peers. We put way too much trust. And I think that you and I, as friends and as peers, I think we're supposed to be trustworthy. I think if you say something to me and if it's said in confidence, it ought to be that way. And God knows my heart. I strive to give people a place of confidentiality where they can get help. But I am going to tell you something. Some of you trust people way too much. You trust your peers way too much. And it's not a matter of, it's a wicked, vile thing to reach out and trust a group of peers. It is that you trust them above trusting Him, and your ultimate trust is always to be in God. And so, watch out, that group of people that you tend to place your confidence in. You know, Ammon had a friend named Jonadab. And I don't know if you know the story in the Old Testament, but Ammon had a friend named Jonadab. Jonadab ended up talking Ammon into raping his half-sister. Why? Because he trusted his peers' advice, and it created total havoc, total desolation, and a total mess. Not everything your peers say to you is the will of God. Not everything your peers are doing is the will of God. You say, well, everybody down at work's doing it, then it's probably not right. You say, all the kids I go to school with are doing it, then I wouldn't be doing it. Amen. Folks, there's no way around it. In this day and age, when you're out in that society, you will be odd to them as you live right. You cannot trust in your peers. You say, but preacher, it's the fad. It's the thing happening in America today. I just need to tell you something. what's happening in America today is predominantly vile. We are so far removed today from what we once were. And we think, well, I'm an American citizen, and this is what Americans do. I am a citizen of the country of heaven first. And I am to live right according to the Bible, not according to what everybody in America is doing. So this is the big thing in our society. Our society is corrupt. It's a mess. Be careful letting, hey, trust in your peers is a dangerous thing. And for teenagers, boy, I understand I was a teenager. I remember what it was like. I wanted my friends to like me. I wanted to be accepted by my friends. I wanted my friends to interact with me. But I'm going to have to tell every teenager in here something. If you have to walk for God all by yourself alone, then you do it. Because your peers are not to be, you're not to trust your peers more than you trust your God. And might I add this, you're not to trust your peers more than you trust your mom and dad. And you shouldn't trust your peers more than you trust your youth director, or you trust your pastor, or you trust your Sunday school teacher. Hey, and all the adults say, well, that's right, preacher. Well, I'd like to, for some of you adults to understand the very same thing. We misappropriate our trust. There's not an absence of trust. You know, the average teenager says, well, I just don't trust. But you're in all sorts of trouble with your friend who you trust. So, misappropriated trust brings damage to us. We trust ourselves more than we trust Him. We trust our mind more than we trust His mind. We trust our spirit or our emotion more than we trust Him. We trust our peers more than we trust the Lord, or we trust God's peers. And your peer is someone you spend time with. Now, I'm going to give you another point here, and you'll think it's like the last one, but there's just enough difference in it that I want to teach it. You trust your best friend more than you trust those who tend to be God's best friend. You trust your best friend more than you tend to trust God's best friend. Now, I'm going to teach you a little something about a pastor for a moment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I think your ultimate trust ought to always be in God. But I do believe that God intended that you have a certain amount of trust in the man of God. That never that supersedes God, never that supersedes His Spirit, never that supersedes His Word. But I can tell you this. I think that the man of God ought to be pretty high up on your list of people that you trust when it's decision-making time. And I think the simplest way to put it is, I'd be careful trusting your best friend more than you trust God's man. And I'm not going to go into it in great detail, but I could not tell you folks how many folks I've watched mess up their lives because they trusted their best friend in making a decision more than they trusted their pastor. I could take you to story after story after story in my mind where I'm thinking, now I told them they needed to be very cautious of this, and if they do that, it's going to hurt them. But their friend convinced them it was the thing to do. And they said, well, I think I'm going to go the route of my friend instead of go the route of my pastor. Hey, and I don't think I'm right all the time. I don't think that at all. But I will tell you this. I think that God can help me to help you. I think the book that I study and the book that I read and the book that I teach, I think it can help you. I would never in your fondest imagination ever claim to be some supernatural Christian or preacher. But I do know the supernatural one. And I would just be careful. Sometimes we let our best friend have more trust than we let our pastor have. If you're not careful, you'll get yourself in trouble that way. And I'm not here for a moment. I will not uplift Jeff Owens, but I will uplift the position of pastor in the New Testament church. He was given for a reason. And I know you don't have the smartest one in the world, but you'll have a hard time finding one that's more sincere. You'll go long and far before you'll find one that loves you and prays for you like I do. All I'm simply trying to tell you is you better be careful, because when you trust your best friend more than you trust your pastor, and you'd rather get advice from your best friend than your pastor, something's just missing there. Do you understand? It could be a misappropriation of trust. And I'm not saying your best friend's not trustworthy, but I am telling you this: God gave you a pastor for a reason.
Yes, sir.
He gave you a pastor for a reason. And it's not to get up here and just tell a joke and a funny story every once in a while. It's for guidance. Let me go on. Misappropriated trust. Number six, you trust your future plans for you more than you trust His future plans for you. You trust your future plans for you more than you trust His future plans for you. Notice it says in Proverbs chapter 3, when we were reading verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And it's talking about that's out in front of you. If you trust Him, you need to trust His future plan for you. And be very, very careful that you don't make plans for your future without Him. All sorts of people. You know, if I stood up here and I told you all, I remember when I was a 16-year-old boy, I was at an old-fashioned tent meeting in Zionsville, Indiana. And there was an evangelist preaching, and I was just a 16-year-old kid, and I will never forget that night when, during the invitation, God called me to preach. I was 16. I'm as sure of it as I stand here this evening. That night when that evangelist gave the invitation, I knew God grabbed a hold of my heart and said, "Boy, you walk that aisle, you go down there, get on your knees, and you give me your life. I'm placing my hand upon you to be a preacher." And I know that happened to me. I have no doubt that happened to me. Now, if I described all that to you and then I said, "But I decided that that's not the route I wanted to go," I think everybody in here would say, "Preacher, why would you do that? That's dumb. Preacher, you should never reject God's leading in your life like that." Well, if it's important for me, it's important for you. It's just as important that God lead you. I want Him to direct my paths. You say, "Well, why?" He sees the future and you can't. You want to hear something really special? I was 16. I was in an altar. I was surrendering my life to preach. And all I could see is the moment that God called me to preach. Do you know what God could see? God could see this night, me teaching this lesson to these people. I didn't see all that. God's seen it all. Now, when I want to pick my own future, I'm risking missing everything God had for me. Plus, a lot of destruction comes because you get off the path because you picked your path instead of letting Him pick your path. And so the destruction comes. So, "And He shall direct thy paths." He can make you more successful than you can make you. Did you know that? "Well, if I serve God, it'll limit what I'm going to be." No, 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 no. You limit what you're going to be. God won't limit. God will magnify. He wants you to be more successful than you want to be. His opinion of success is more accurate than your opinion of success. God's will never holds a person back, but always catapults them to greater heights. That's just the way it is. I was thinking about when I went off to Bible college. I really, really loved my home church and would have been more than happy to be right there. But I made sure I did what God wanted me to do, and as a result of it, God led my path, and God expounded, and God gave me prosperity. Not because I did anything. God gave me prosperity because I stayed on His plan. And His plan was a prosperous plan. His plan is always the safest. I'm almost finished. But I say to you, you say, I just don't trust. I just don't believe you. You trust, but you pick what you trust. Some of you trust yourself very deeply. You trust a lot of things. You pick some things that you don't trust, and maybe you should be able to trust those. You say, well, I don't trust my husband, or I don't trust my wife, or I don't trust my mom, or I don't trust my dad. Okay, I understand, but I'm just telling you, when you say, I just don't trust, that's not true. Yes, you do. You just choose what you trust. And if you're not careful, it'll be a misappropriation of trust. And a misappropriation of trust eventually brings desolation, according to the Bible. What causes this? What brings it on? Well, I trust me more than I trust him, or I trust my mind more than I trust his mind, or I trust my feelings or spirit more than I trust his. I trust my peers more than I trust my God. I trust my best friend more than I trust the man of God that he places in my life. I trust my future plans for me more than I trust his future plans for me. I'm done, but I'm going to give you a little illustration. My wife and I, we had a young married couple Sunday school class many years ago, and a young couple by the name of Jeff and Joy Ryder, who happened to be my college president's children. They had surrendered themselves to the mission field, and they were going to Papua New Guinea. And I'll never forget, they left our Sunday school class, and they went to Papua New Guinea. And they were there for about 4 or 5 years, and they had come back to the States for furlough, and they had been. And when I say Papua New Guinea, they were with tribes that were still experiencing total nudity, and there was no air landing strip for where they needed to go into the jungles of New Guinea. And I remember asking Jeff, we were standing there one day when he had come back for a furlough, and I said, Jeff, how many people are being saved? And he said, well, we've had a couple saved. And I said, well, Jeff, why so few? He said, and those were business people that had come through, and we happened to come across them. He said, because there's a language barrier. He said, I don't know if you understand, but we are with a group of people and their dialect, they don't understand English, they don't understand anything, and we're having to actually translate the Word of God for a group of people that are out in the middle of nowhere, and nobody understood their language. And he was talking about all this, and we had taken them out to eat at a nice restaurant, and They had come back, and there was a great big, remember back when you didn't have grocery stores that were super centers? You had little AMP and Kroger's and things like that. Well, there had been this great big Walmart super center come in since they had gone to the mission field. And right before we took them out to eat, they had walked through the aisles of this super center. And boy, when you go from a little grocery store about the size of this auditorium to a Walmart like the one we have in town, it's like a football field. And they had walked through there, and we were sitting there, and we had ordered our food, and we were talking, and I said to Jeff, a missionary writer, I said, Jeff, I said, I just about imagine it's going to be tough for you to take your wife and children back to the jungle of New Guinea next, I think this is the next day or so. And this is what Jeff said to me. He said, no, sir. He said, the safest place in the entire world for Jeff Ryder and his family is in the jungle of New Guinea. I said, why do you feel that way? He said, that's the will of God for me. He said, Brother Owens, I felt unsafe all the time I've been here back in the States. He said, I felt safer in the jungle. Wow. You want to know why? His trust was in the Lord, and he was where God wanted him, and where God wants you is the safest place you could ever be. That's why destruction comes when we get off the path. Misappropriated trust. There's some of you right now, you need to get your life straightened out with God. You say, why? It's the safest place you could ever be. Safest place you could ever be. In Isaiah 47, verse 10 and 11, there was a misappropriated trust, and the word that described its outcome was desolation. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that path is a safe and a precious path, and that's the one we want to be on. Destructive behavior number 22. Wrong trust. The problem among people is not no trust. It's misappropriation of trust. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you never trusted Jesus as Savior. We welcome you to the Savior. If you're here tonight and you say, yeah, I need to work on this. My trust mechanism is damaged a little bit. Well, just take a look around at the things that you do trust. All you need to do is to adjust your trust to the right things. And you certainly can do that. Who here would say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I want to enrich my trust. I want my trust to be directed at the right things. God helping me, that's what I want. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You may put those hands down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. So I don't trust much. Nah, I'm going to guess you trust far more than what you want to admit. It's just, what do you trust? You trust yourself. You say, well, I'll keep myself safe. I'll keep this safe. You better let God keep it safe. Trust your mind, you trust your decisions, you trust your spirit, you trust your peers, you trust your best friend, you trust your plan for your future. But trust in the Lord. Notice it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not some, not part. That's faith. That is a confidence in the one who will never let you down. One more time through this song, please. One more time. Ushers, if you'll get the prayer sheets ready.